Number 7 Media Production.
Hey! Welcome to the Pot of Gold podcast series, where we focus on people and businesses within the mining industry with the objective to extract nuggets of wisdom and practical business advice. I'm your host, Jacques Besson. If you're keen to listen to some more SME-focused podcast series, check out BizCrush. And if Afrikaans is your thing, check out Klipkoers, which focuses on Afrikaans SMEs. Hailing from the Limpopo, Krypton Mining Director Ulisani Mave developed a passion for geology at university. As one of only a few female students pursuing geology, Ulisani was already breaking ground back then. She entered the world of mining in 2008 and with the necessary mentoring has built up an intimate understanding of the industry with specific focus on designing and implementing technological solutions. Boasting 10 years experience at various levels of both mining and consulting in African and other international mineral commodity fields, Ulisani believes that as a woman in a previously male-dominated industry, one should become diversified and grow interest in the innovation space. Sonny, welcome in the studio.
Thank you, Jack.
It's very nice to have you.
Nice to be here.
Tell us a bit more about yourself. Where did you grow up? You know, your whole journey to where you're sitting here today.
All right. Okay. Thanks for having me, firstly. So, basically, I'm a girl from Limpopo. I grew up in Venda, did all my schooling there, primary, high school.
Was it still an independent country back then?
No.
Oh, you give away your age. I don't want to give away your age. You must say no, it definitely wasn't.
So I was in the transition. So once I completed my matric, I moved from a very hot Limpopo to a very cold Free State. I studied geology in the University of Free State. It was quite an interesting journey for me. Fell in love with the mining industry when I got to university. Maybe not the mining industry at first, but the geology, the science. That opened my eyes to not only a career, but a fascinating environment that not many were aware of at the time I was studying. We didn't have mines in Venda. Per se, there was one coal mine, but, you know, no one ever showed interest. But, you know, finding myself being given or granted an opportunity to study in a field that at that time was very men-dominated. You know,
what did the class look like?
The class looked, there were a few of us, I must say, in the time that I got to university. I think the excitement for women to try engineering, to try IT, to try things like geology.
There was a bit of a drive,
yes.
That awareness that, come on, ladies.
Yeah, let's do it, mm-hmm. Right? So it was not that one was all by themselves, mm-hmm. Right? It was a couple of us, but still you could feel that you are breaking ground, mm-hmm. In a sense, mm-hmm. that it's the communication that comes out about the industry itself. It's that it's harsh. You know, you are going to be in the mine after you graduate. So that that in itself was a challenge.
But did that put you off?
Not at all.
So you were ready for this?
I think I was naive. I enjoyed the geology, yeah. That I forgot about the sort of the cons.
The realities of the mining workplace.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that never sort of put me off. I never tapped into to that at that point. So I was an Anglo Platinum buzzer. I had opportunities to go do field and vacation work over the holidays through my buzzery experiences. So that opened my eyes. right?
That's when the rubber hits the road, right?
The reality hits, right? Mm. That, oh, okay, this is the full package. Mm. But still, it did not put me off, right? Mm. So I think it also came with the personality that one carries, right? Yes. That, yes, you know, you're in this, right? Yeah. If other people can do it, you can do it as well. So there was a little bit of
go-getter.
Go for it, right? Yeah. So I completed my qualification 2007. I started work in 2008.
We're still in the Free State?
Yes. But I moved to Rustenburg, right? I moved to the platinum mines.
Okay,
yes,
of course,
yeah. That's where I started my career, in the platinum mines. Quite a nice journey, I must say. I was blessed to have the right people at the beginning of my career. I had quite crucial sort of seniors in the department that were willing to sort of teach you the ropes of mining without intimidation.
Do you think, I mean, that it's always so nice to hear that you walk into a big company and there's these mentors ready to share the experience, but also I guess that's a mindset that's unique to you, that you're almost willing to go look for this information or sit at the feet.
Yes.
I think that's always the other problem when you 4 years university, now you know everything.
You think you are the it.
You've arrived.
not really. So I think the mining industry quickly will show you that, you know, you still have a journey to learn. I was willing to be taught, right? And I had the right people around me. So the buzzery the graduate pool that I was part of at the time was quite good, I must say, in a sense that, you know, you get to be mentored and trained without pressure, right? But that was sort of like a deciding or an episode in my life that steered the ship in the right direction, you know, quite early. I appreciate the people that were in the department at the time when I was a graduate.
What did the workplace look like? So obviously now the classroom, there were at least there was a few ladies, obviously still.
The workplace was different, right? So yeah, the workplace was quite different. You felt that you were a woman and firstly, you know, even because you're coming in as a professional, you're a geologist, though you would have certain pecs, but the minute you get underground, everybody's the same, and you're outnumbered, right? So it's real. Mm. It's hard. though you're not doing hard labor as such yourself. But you're in the midst of all of that, right?
Yes, yes.
So those who would understand, you know, geologists spend a lot of their time walking underground, you know, unlike a miner or a shift boss or somebody like that would walk to their workplace and start working. We walk from place to place, you know, mapping and doing all the.
So you were nice and fit.
Yes.
Because I mean, that's the serious temperatures down there.
And tired. Oh, yeah. Nice and fit and very tired. I'm happy I went through that phase of my life when I was younger and not married, not married with kids. I could do that, right? So I obviously, you know, the career grew. I did production geology together with exploration geology for about 5 years before I looked for opportunities outside the hardcore mining industry. So I went consulting, right? I joined a company called Hexagon Mining, where we did, I was involved in, the mining software space, right?
And was that the first time did you want to get involved in the software space?
I've always wanted to be in technology, right? So a little bit exposure when I was still within, I was with Rail Bafokeng in the 5 years of being in the mines. I did a bit of, sort of in the exploration field. So you get exposed to technology and softwares. And that sort of, it was appealing to me, right? So I felt like, oh, I'll still be in the mining industry, making a difference, still involved, but not necessarily in the hard environment. Yes. So that for me became appealing, and I wanted to just diversify. So the important thing at that point for me was, it cannot be you are limited to one field. Diversify a bit. That opportunity came at the right time. I traveled a lot in that job. I did a lot of consulting work in Africa, in Turkey, in America. So that opened my eyes, and the horizon just, things just opened up, right? And you realize that there are different spaces that one can operate in mining, not necessarily with a pick and a shovel, if I may put it
that way. Yes, I can put my hand up and say that, if it wasn't for, as I mentioned to you before, my close friend Charles, that's a geologist, in my head, and my dad was a surveyor, by the way, for Anglo-American.
Oh,
so he told me I'd walking.
Right? Yeah. So, okay, we walked, but surveyors walked even
more. I could never keep up with him. Even as a young, fit teenager, I couldn't keep up with my dad when he started walking. So with Charles, obviously he tells me about some of the technology and all the rest, and then you realize, okay, this is not just literally bricks and mortar or rocks and heavy earth moving equipment. There's this technological side to it, which of course opens a lot of opportunities. And I think what's so excited about technology for me equals, and you've touched on it, the travel bit. Technology equals globalization.
Correct.
Borderless. Did you, coming back, and I don't want to put the I'm an old Kofsi, so I can't go for there, but were you aware in the classroom of the technological or these opportunities that existed?
In the time, you were exposed to technology a little bit. We did, we got exposed to a few softwares that you used to model for your projects, right? Mm-hmm. But it was never in depth. It was never, you could be involved in the development of the software itself.
Ah,
do you understand? So
yes.
It was just a
take note.
Exactly, right? So, but the extensive knowledge that we got in terms of the geology itself, that was massive, right? So it was not
Yeah, because you had to understand that to able to work the software, understand how it fits into the bigger scheme of things.
Exactly. So the good technology without the knowledge, pretty much,
Yes.
And that's where marrying a person who's been in industry with technology becomes more advantageous for industry because you understand the pain points. You can develop softwares that talk to the problems, that solves the real problems that the mining industry is facing. So if I may put it in this way, so the traveling also opens one's eyes to what's lacking here at home, right? You get to see how advanced other mines are, how autonomy has advanced, right? A lot of mines in Canada and other places have gone, completely autonomous.
Literally run from a control center.
If not semi-autonomous, right? So, and those things are appealing to a woman to think that, I don't have, because as a woman, you always wonder, I would not be as fit for the rest of my life to walk, the geologists underground and do all this mapping. My energy might run out, but the passion for geology may still exist. This is when our technology comes in. It evens out the play field that, if you diversify and you tap into other things, you can make yourself relevant for longer. And that's what it did for me, right? So in loving and enjoying technology and applying the knowledge that one gained over the years in underground mining and now I got to also consult for open pit mining. It just became a much more interesting science or field for me.
You mentioned the Canadians. You look back. Mm-hmm. What really jumped out during those travel days, that technology wise, which you thought, man, if we can use this in South Africa or something maybe 5 years or 10 years from now, what jumped out?
So it's quite a few things, and I'll try to marry it to what we have now with krypton mining. Because a lot of technologies we're still sourcing out from outside, in applications such as MineSense, right? Mm. That's a fleet management system, right? To understand that instead of the olden days where everything needed a person to be able to be managed or to move, right?
Time for a Did You Know insert.
Canadian-based MS4M has established itself as a leading global provider of real-time mine management and optimization solutions. The MS4M Mining Suite comprises a unique quartet of solutions covering the entire spectrum of fleet management, namely safety, health, report, and control sense. A fleet management system providing end-to-end control and operational stability. MineSense's growing client base includes major operations in South America, Asia, and Australia, while it is broadening its partnerships to bring greater innovation for customers in Africa, hence the partnership with Krypton Mining.
That technology can come in and help optimize systems and people's deliverables, right? In a sense that you can manage your fleet sitting remotely in a head office when your mines are all over the world,
yes.
Right? Have visibility of how your operation is doing from anywhere in the world. Be able to make decisions, strategic decisions, from a distance, and be able to give input that is collective, right?
Mm.
Not everybody has to be in the same room to give their input. Everyone can have visibility of what's happening in the pit,
sure.
From everywhere they are, and that just opens up opportunities to grow.
What's incredible about that? I mean, that is probably one of the best examples of how you you utilize human capability.
Exactly.
So you're saying you've got 10 people across the world sitting looking at the same problem.
Yeah.
So you've got 10 times the input.
Exactly. Right. So previously you find that your good guys are sitting in a head office environment, and they're not willing to always be the nice minerals are found in the weird corners of the world. Right. So you can be able to tap into the great minds that may not be necessarily willing to go to Timbuktu, but make a difference in the operation that is in Limpopo, or wherever you are, because of technology and making those things visible and seeing things in real time, right?
Mm.
So, I'll come back to an application like MineSense. There's quite a few in the market, but this one is closer to home because I've grown to use it and have experience with.
So, where was MineSense, or where was it developed, and where's head office?
MineSense, it's a Canadian, South American sort of solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination, but the head office it's in Canada.
Okay.
We as Krypton Mining are sort of like a sole distributor here in South Africa. In Africa, we sort of run the distribution this side of the world. Yeah.
And I mean, with the fleet management, obviously, I know from my experience within agriculture, mm-hmm. if you look at modern day tractors, yes. I mean, it's preventative maintenance. It's productivity, increased productivity. So it sounds to me like it's a similar solution.
Definitely. It's a total solution that sort of manages your fleet movement, assigning tasks to your movement, also managing and planning availabilities of your equipment. And you can also manage your sort of like your plane maintenance around that one solution.
Sure.
So it gives you that capability to be able to predict when you will need to sort of fix what and have control of your fleet entirely, which is for any business, I think, you know, for anyone not to want to have that, it's just, you know, you want to be, you know, ahead of the game, not be reactive, because one truck down in a mining day, it's a lot of money
that
you're losing. So you'd want to minimize those as much as you can.
So Lusani, so obviously the technology side grabbed you. You've given us an example of the Canadians, which, you know, I think a lot of people know they're impressive mm-hmm. when it comes to mining. And you mentioned MineSense. So obviously this consultancy world grabbed hold of your technology. What happened after that?
So obviously, you know, before I came here, I stayed, you know, with Hexagon Mining, like I said.
Were they in Joburg? Where were they?
In Joburg, yeah. But it's a global company, okay. Right? So there's sort of branches worldwide, quite the vast solutions that we were involved in. But I was quite involved in the mine planning, geological modeling softwares.
So this was now developing the product.
Contributing
to make it better.
And also consulting, right? Implementing the solutions at clients and stuff like that. But every day, you know, interrogating and working with softwares, that grew in me, right? The nice thing about it is that I never felt that the geologist in me has sort of died, right? So you're doing both those things,
yes.
But you're more in innovation and you're doing other things as well. So the thing that I wanted in the beginning of diversifying my career, it came there. And I think for a woman, for any woman in any space, especially when you tap into a male-dominated industry, I'd advise anybody to look for opportunities, right? Not just be single-minded, diversify, grow yourself so that you don't feel stuck.
Yes.
You can do what you want with your career. Mm. And that's what that gave me. That experience gave me that.
But the key is the technology. It's focusing on in your job to eliminate that stuck.
Yeah.
So it's to focus on technology because that gives you that transferable skills. And I remember you once said to me, which I loved, you said, listen, a woman in banking can make the transition into mining as long as it's that technological alignment.
A lot of the women and then the men that we employing in crypto mining, we based in mining, right? It's software developers sort of solution analysts and architects that are coming from other industries, right? Mm. So you're no longer limited to an industry. So technology gives you that or exposure into that space, right? Into IT, innovation, anything of that sorts, right? It's common across every industry, right? So it's a SQL database, yes. In a banking space. It's just different tables as what you would build in a mining environment. Mm. But the language is still the same. If you're talking JavaScripting, if you're talking Python, it's the same language. It's just now you dealing with different type of data.
And how exciting that – two thoughts around that is number one, and you touched on it, that because you now – you were exposed to different type of minds and different type of countries. Now, that's a learning already. So you're getting these comparisons.
Yeah.
And it becomes easier to identify best practice or what works. And then number two is now you've got cross-industry. So we mentioned banking now as an example. You take those learnings, the lingo, the thinking, and now you and you merge that with the mining. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. It's to me, it's like true synergy.
True. It's realizing that a lot of people think, and I've been hearing a lot of people as we introduce nice, beautiful technologies into the mines, that they find that machines are going to take away their jobs. And it's not the case.
It's not the machine.
It's not.
The machine is there to stay.
it's good to have the machine that's doing the hard work for me.
Yes.
But I just need to transform myself and tap into different skill sets that will allow me to be relevant and coexist with that machine. Mm. That's where we are now, right? In the past, right, we used to map map book.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So geologists you'd
pen and paper.
Yeah. So you'd find yourself at the end of the month. If you've done your work, really you've covered cover to cover of a hard copy book, and then you move to the next one and you find yourself with a pile of books. And then yes, we'll digitize them or draw them onto big mine plans, and we had big mine plan drawers.
And I mean, that's recently.
I'm not an ancient person, right? So, but now, right? So you know, some of the solutions that I've sort of, you know, become part of their implementation in the mines that I'm involved in, you know, include, you know, tablets where geologists can be anywhere, right? Instead of, you know, writing in paper in the field, coming and having to type.
Yes.
You know, we've got tablets that are joined, that are connected to servers, and Wi-Fi is everywhere. And then you do your job once.
Wow.
Right?
And again, it's the information. Now you've got 20 mines,
uh-huh,
20 geologists doing that, and instantaneous, you've got 20 geologists' information.
All in one.
All in one.
Data integrity on another level, right? Because you've got systems that checks your quality as you go, right? As compared to if I'm tired after logging a 1,000 or 100 meter, as a natural person, you'll get tired. Mm. But you need to have systems and technologies that helps when the mind grows sort of weary or fails, right? Mm. That sort of pops up that thing that, you know, you've missed something. And that's where we are. You'll never take away a mind of an engineer or a geologist or a surveyor like your dad. But you can bring in systems and equipment and technologies that can make that job more bearable, right? Leave the surveyor to do more analytics work instead of carrying heavy equipment the whole day, you know.
So I'll tell you an interesting story.
Yeah.
Right? So 1985,
uh-huh,
my dad, he was obsessed with Hewlett-Packard, and I suspect that's got something to do with mining, right?
Yeah.
I wonder. But anyway,
uh-huh,
and I remember he always went on about the woman CEO,
okay,
of HP. Just by the way, she's a famous. I just thought of it now.
Uh-huh.
She was one, and again back in the '80s. So in this male-dominated CEO world, this HP's
lady,
very successful, mm-hmm, CEO was a lady. And anyway, so one day he brings this thing home. I'm a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to emphasize, 85, he brings this calculator,
uh-huh,
that had a memory. I guess this probably would have been 1 megabyte, right? But this thing stored the information, so capturing the data in the field,
uh-huh,
and then he took the
memory
and stuck it in his computer, and it pulled.
The data.
Data. And I remember you telling me, and I was obviously, I was in awe with this thing. I was, obviously, I played 1+2. I didn't know what to do. I just played with these little. But I mean, that was what's that? 36 years ago, right? Wow. It's incredible already.
And I'm sure if you were to go in now.
Today, I can't imagine what the level of technology is that these guys are using.
So my message and my encouragement would be every woman in this day and age should be growing interest one way or the other.
How do you look in
the innovation space?
How does a woman out there? I mean, obviously, the answer lies in, you know, pull your finger out and get on with it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for example, with all these job opportunities, for example, in technology and in mining. Is the mine industry driving that awareness? Is it supposed to be the HR boss of Anglo American that drives it? Who's driving that awareness of what's out there and the opportunities?
I would not say that there's anyone that's driving anything as such, right? But the fact of the matter is that minds are transforming.
Mm. It exists, right? And you be awake, be aware.
Be awake. And go out there, learn. Mm. So if you're waiting for HR to come and put a course in front of you, you'd wait for a very long time. Go out there, learn, ask. There's a lot of sort of short, easier courses that one can tap into and grow their skills, right? Learning to script or to code. It's readily available in the net. There's a lot of institutions, very affordable, that offer basic coding and IT basic education,
yes.
Which makes you employable and makes you relevant for the time that we are in, right? Because at the rate at which all these things are happening, all these technologies are coming at us, if we don't change the way we learn and we teach our kids even at schools, our education will be irrelevant at some point, right? So for those that are still coming in, tie up your degree with something else, right? Just learn, grow interest, be inquisitive. Find institutions that can assist you with those things. Yeah.
And good old YouTube and Google is a man and woman's best friend.
Exactly, right. So, in times like this, and I think I shared this with you the other day, right? That in COVID times like this, you find that this has exposed the need for technology so much. Those that resisted technology, I'm talking about companies now. A lot of them are sort of feeling the pain, but those that jumped onto the bandwagon of growing and digitizing their minds or their businesses are reaping the benefits right now. Right?
For sure,
Definitely.
Look, if COVID didn't wake you up as a business, then nothing will wake you up. Consultancy exposed to technology. What happened then?
I came across a company called Krypton Mining. Obviously, I was at this stage in my life where I wanted to sort of, grow further. And this opportunity, a job opportunity came that allowed me to even go, deeper now, right, be on the forefront of implementing not just a single technology or two, but multiple, right?
Yes. Again, solving the problem.
Correct. Mm. Yeah. Right. So I joined Krypton Mining 2019. When I joined in as an executive manager for mining and MRM because I come from that space. But, you know, driving the architectural implementation of solution. And I was placed at one of our clients, which is Exaro.
Time for a Did You Know insert.
Exaro is one of South Africa's leading black-empowered resource companies. The company counts among the top 5 coal producers in South Africa and is a JSE-listed company. Exaro operates in both the Mpumalanga and Limpopo regions, where the Republic's highest coal resource concentrations are found. Up to 80% of the coal is distributed to domestic markets, while the balance is sold internationally. Equipped with a diversified portfolio of assets and a solid resource base, Exaro is also the only producing mine in the Coalreach Waterberg region through their flagship Groot Geluk operation.
And there one got exposure to limitless sort of technological initiatives.
And they're sitting here in Centurion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I remember I always see Exaro the name.
Yes.
And the other day, oh, now I know.
Yeah,
you know,
where,
but what – so tell us a bit more about them. I mean, it sounds very impressive. It sounds more impressive than Hexagon, right? But or are they –
It's different. Hexagon is not a – it's not a mining company. It's a solutions company.
I understand.
Right.
So that's – I got it.
Yes,
got
it's
it.
Not a mine. So,
but this is a mining company.
Here, you know, Exaro, you're talking about a mine. So it's quite a significant mine in the country. You know, especially in the cold business. So that's where I'm based at the moment. So there's quite a lot of initiatives that, you know, through Krypton Mining we were able to sort of be able to be part of and drive within the business and everywhere where we are is Krypton Mining, right? So we with Anglo, we with most of the mines, Exaro mines, and
but you've got multiple disciplines though, because
yeah.
We talked software, we talked MindSense, we mentioned Dingo, but
yeah.
what is this? Tell us about the other, especially Exaro.
So right now I tapped into the sort of the architecture space, right? So a solutions architect, what basically means it's you're an IT architect. For those who may not understand what it means, but I drive most of the solution within the mining and MRM space.
Improvement of the technology.
Yeah.
It's understanding what the challenges and opportunities, literally not on the ground, in the ground
in
is,
the ground.
or and on the ground.
Yes, yeah.
And changing that into a digital solution.
Correct. Yeah. Right. So, because of the of one's journey, right? One has been on the ground as a geologist, understanding the pain points that a geologist suffers on a day-to-day basis, and then you've got all these experiences that you've picked up over the years through other mines and what they're doing and all of that. When now you find yourself in an environment where you need to drive solutions, you know when you see a solution that can work and that will not work. And that's basically what, you know, we sort of driving at this point in time to make sure that you implement solutions that will be long-lasting, solutions that will make a difference in the business, but solutions that talk to each other.
Again, can you give us an example? What is that in layman's terms? What was the problem? And it sounds like I'm interviewing you for a job. What was the problem and what was the outcome?
I'll just make an example with a few things that we've sort of been involved in, right? So we've been involved in implementing autonomous drilling in the mine. Also, just, you know, some improvements around fleet management.
Okay.
Improvements around PDS and PDS is basically proximity detection softwares, right? Yeah. So because there are a lot of moving objects within the mine, it's important from a safety perspective
that they don't kill one another.
Yeah, yeah, they don't kill people.
Yes.
Right. So that's quite important. So those are some of the solutions that, you know, we've been driving. But the list is quite long.
How long does it take? So you talk about autonomous drilling. I mean, so that sounds very, very 21st century.
Yeah.
So obviously, it says what it does on the thing. Manage it essentially, and this thing drills away.
Yeah. It differs from one solution to the next.
Yes.
Right. So there are bigger implementations that will take years because you will tackle them in portions, right?
Yes,
because it's bigger investments, right, involved.
I understand.
And then there are smaller
It's a quick win.
Yeah. So that you can you run in 6 months, you've implemented that, and it's done. I'll make an example. We rolled out a new mine planning and financial modeling software at the mine now. So we've been rolling that out since 2019. We are only nearing the end of it now because there were models that we had to build from scratch. So these are models that you may have built in older softwares in the olden days. You need to make sure that you don't lose any data. Data integrity is quite important.
Yes.
As you migrate onto a new software, it might be the best, but you need to make sure that you do not lose any functionality or anything in the process as you grow. So, and there are implementations that have taken 6 months, right?
Okay.
So, we're currently putting up what we call slope stability monitoring system. These are radars that we put in the pit to monitor in movement of the pit. This is for safety purposes. So,
this thing picks up movement, human movement, and it stops.
Not human movements. The pit, the ground movement, right?
Oh, I see.
Any movement that is beyond a certain threshold.
So it's get the people out.
It gets picked up and, warnings and notifications get sent to the right people who will make the decision of how to react, whether you're pulling everybody out of the pit or it's a minor thing that needs to just be monitored and managed.
Yes.
So such things are making the mining industry safer and not just more profitable, right? So you're driving profits, but at the same time, you're also driving a lot of safety. So the less people you have present on the pit, the better. If you were to check, fatalities over the years have reduced significantly. You know, there are a lot of people, when you say you worked in the mine, people always thought
someone that died.
Right. So, but over the years, it has reduced significantly, and it's because of all these things that are being introduced to help us to manage the environment better and to also be friendly to the environment, right? So that's also important. That as much as you want the diamond or the coal out of the ground, you don't want to destroy the ground at the same time.
So, coming back to Krypton. Why Krypton? What jumped out at the time? Because obviously it sounds to me like, I mean, you could pick your spot.
Krypton gave me the opportunities I needed at the time. I could see that, you know, I would grow. I'd say the point when I came to Krypton, I had other opportunities elsewhere, but the choice was quite simple. I saw myself being involved on the things I wanted, being able to do more than maybe I get bored easily, but this allowed me to diversify.
And again, it sounds like it's getting involved in every aspect of the business.
Exactly.
Versus, as you did say earlier, doing one thing now, it was getting involved in a lot of things in the business.
Yeah, and I could pick up, you know, the culture. The culture.
What did that look like? Because I wouldn't want to say, because it just reminded me of my question. What did your classroom look like when you arrived at Bloemfontein? So
the culture of a company says a lot, right, about how you if you'd enjoy or not, or be able to make a success in that environment. And I could see that. Firstly, I could see that, you know, as a woman, I was respected and, you know, and sort of seen, which is important, right? So the skills that you're coming with, if they're celebrated, if you're celebrated for what you bring to the table, and which is what I found, you know, within Krypton, I knew that, you know, I could grow myself here. I could expand my horizons, and opportunities were available to allow me to grow. And mentorship was available for me to also grow, because, you know, in every phase of your career, you know, there's always somebody who knows more. And there were people who were willing to mentor me, not just into being technically inclined or technically.
Yeah, so it's just the day job, you solid, but you're a weirdo outside of
but
the office.
A lot of leadership potential. I could see how I could grow more in leadership, and which is what, you know, has happened over the years. When I came, I would say I was just a mere geologist, but I've grown to be, you know, I'm in the executive team right now, and that can only mean that the skills that one brought to the table were celebrated and seen, and I'm still, you know, growing and being groomed in leadership, and which is quite significant in the industry that we are in, where a lot of women are crying out to be seen the same way that our male counterparts are seen, in a sense that you do the same work or even more, and then you still find that the position goes to because it's a male-dominated industry historically. But Krypton has taken intentionally, even in the way the culture of the company. And we're driving that with intention, that it's a fair scorecard. It's a fair playing field where both men and women, as long as you bring the right skills, you'll get the same treatment. And that's the message that we sort of drive even to the clients that some of our people are based at.
Is that... In this day and age, it sounds like it's still not the norm that, you know, other than the fact there's deliberate strategy from Krypton, as you said, there's a cultural component that you can't cut and paste like that.
No.
So it says a lot about the business that, that the culture is like that. But it sounds to me there's still a lot of businesses out there that where women are brought in, and it's more of a tick box exercise.
Definitely, there are.
And I find it, maybe I'm ignorant, I find it so stupid.
Yeah, but it's still happening, and it's sad because, you know, I was listening to another talk earlier on. Obviously, it's Women's Month. There's a lot of talks around women.
Yes, it's very womany.
So this lady was saying that, you know, it has been proven that in executive boards where women are involved, you know, the culture of the company tends to be to be more friendly. The company tends to be delivery is seen. And also, there's a lot of the culture within the companies. It's conducive for people to remain, because in any company you want to retain your people, right? And we, as women, by nature, we bring that, right? Mm. The caring factor,
yes.
That a person is not just a number.
Yes, you
sort of look beyond that. And if companies were to start to incorporate a lot of that, and not just to tick the box, right, but to sort of say, what are you bringing to the table? We treat you as an equal.
Yes.
Let's build the businesses together with your ideas, because if around the table you've got one brain that you're not using, it's one brain that you are.
You lose out on the other, and it's an expensive brain.
Exactly. You're paying the brain.
That's an expensive brain,
exactly.
The one you don't use.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that you guys, you're always recruiting, you're always looking for the hottest talent out there. What are the opportunities within the organization?
Opportunities are limitless, right? I find that as an organization, we're constantly growing. So we've got two of our key products that we distribute and manage from our South African office, which is MindSense. That's a fleet management solution, and also Dingo, which is more of a predictive maintenance software, right? So anybody who's got skills or interest within those spaces would find a fit within crypto mining, and there are opportunities at all times because we're growing. We're always looking at growing at our clients and expanding to other clients as well.
I think that's an important thing you mentioned there. This is not an office role in Irene and Gauteng.
No.
It's where the action is. And there's a lot of opportunities out there.
Definitely. So if one is willing to be at the mines and move around, be where things are happening, there will always be an opportunity. Other opportunities that exist, we've got, you know, a great team of solution architects, business analysts and solution analysts, consulting division within, you know, the business as well, project managers. So those are some of just, you know, a few opportunities that I can point out that exist. But anyone that's got an appetite for innovation, for IT, developing solutions within the mining, for the mining industry specifically, would always find a fit within crypto mining.
I think, and I'll say the last thing, which will be very appropriate to say, someone like you, you know, you've got that empowerment of women, understanding the importance of mentorship. And again, you appreciate it because you were given that opportunity.
Yeah.
And now it's you at the top. And I mean, any new employee mm-hmm. has the opportunity to be mentored by the best in the industry, right? But that's the culture and the heart.
That's my heart, right? Like I said, even in the beginning, right, when I started at Bafokeng Platinum Mine, I was sort of guided by the best, and I attribute my success in my career to those contributions by a group of people, and that has stuck with me. That even right now, right, I'm still mentored by other people, and that's my drive within crypto and mining. That whoever comes through, you know, our employment doors, that we make sure that we groom them and we empower them to become the best that they can be in their careers, right? To expose them to other possibilities that exist in the field. So there's a big drive for women in mining, which is my passionate. I'm quite passionate about, you know, having more women around the table.
Yes.
Right. So having one is not enough. So we are intentional, and I'm making sure that the board is intentional in driving this, the empowerment of women within the business, and making sure that our women are not just numbers at the mines, but they also thrive and they do well. They've got the support that they need. From a person who understands the frustration, because I've been through the journey, It helps to also, you know, be the voice for those that are coming through through our doors. So I would say we intentional in maintaining the culture of growth And just being at the top of our game at all times.
I like it a lot. I can't believe we have a few months left of this year.
Yeah.
Anything interesting happening in this last quarter?
For crypto mining?
No, for you. What? For me. Is your head already planning
in
Christmas?
The holiday. There's quite a lot. There's quite a lot. So, you know, from a business side of things, right? So we, you know, surprisingly, right, even in this COVID times, we've managed to grow quite a lot as a business, right?
That says a lot.
So we intentional in expanding. So as long as we still have feet, we're reaching out and growing and expanding opportunities for our organization. We've got women in mining initiatives that are also coming. We're mentoring quite a few of the ladies that are in the business, making sure that they enjoy the careers and they make the best of the career of their careers. So overall, those are some of the top of the list for myself for the rest of the year, just ensuring that we continue to grow as a business, and we make sure that we take care of the people that we have.
Lusani, it's been fantastic to talk to you. It's inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
I think any company is very fortunate to have you. And in this case, Krypton, they're very fortunate. So thank you for your time. I really enjoyed the chat. And good luck with the last few months of the year. And I just hope you go from strength to strength.
Thank you so much, Jack. And I enjoyed this interview. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast or this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with friends, family, and colleagues. And check out our Facebook page @PotOfGold for what we're up to.